Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
I hope that today as we talk, I'm going to share a lot of things that I've learned about words, about the power of words. In that little class description, I said that you can change the energy of your homeschool, of a room, of your heart, with the power of just one word. So most of you probably recently in a conference heard a talk about 1% gains, right? I hope that you will take that principle to heart here, that you'll maybe think about one word that you can change, and not try to do it all, because that can feel pretty dang overwhelming. And I hope that if any of you are my friends, that you don't suddenly not want to ever talk in front of me because you're worried about what word's going to come out of your mouth. Just be normal, and that'll be wonderful too. But I hope that you can learn something here. And the Spirit is so amazing here, and my hope and my prayer has been that the Spirit will help me teach you something. I planned something, but I also told Heavenly Father, if you want me to go against everything I planned, I will. So just tell me, and I will. So if one of you needs something, tell him, and have him tell me, and then we'll switch the course of the class. But also, have Heavenly Father teach you. I wrote some great notes here for you. Hopefully it's helpful. But take notes on the things that maybe the Spirit's going to tell you that I won't even say. And it'll be just tailor fit for you. Okay, so if we're like Maria in the Von Trapps, she just talked about Von Trapps this morning, right? Made me want to go and watch the movie, read the books to my family. Maria in the Von Trapps in the movie says, we'll start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. So at the beginning, the earth was void and without form. And God created the earth. How did he create it? With words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Like God created with words. And I want to tell you, I believe with everything in me, we create with words. Our words have the power to create in our relationships, in our homeschool, the atmosphere of our homeschool. We can create hostility or harmony. We get to create with the words that we use. There were a couple of other people that created with words. How many of you have ever heard of Masaru Emoto? What? Masaru Emoto. He was a Japanese scientist that did a lot of stuff with words. So he did a lot of different experiments. What he would do is he would take water, and he would take droplets of water and watch them form crystals. So he had a really great camera that could photograph those water crystals as they were forming or right after they formed. And he would expose the water to different, at first he started with music, to different musics he would play in the background while the water was freezing. And some music, the crystals were unable to do anything. They would just form blobs. Other music, they would form beautiful, beautiful crystals. So this is just a quote from his book that I like, so I'm going to read it to you. Water is attempting to communicate something to us. Negative emotions prevent the water from crystallizing. Positive emotions allow it to develop in beautiful hexagonal shapes. So emotions can help with that. Okay, so these are some of the music. This is a water crystal forming with heavy metal. And then this is the song Edelweiss from Sound of Music. I really like that movie. So then he started doing words. So he would just tape a word to the beaker. That's all he did. He didn't even say the word. And then it would freeze. Just with the word taped to the beaker, this is kind of some of the results. You disgust me and evil and truth and love and gratitude. Like that's what happened to water as just words were taped on a beaker. Kind of crazy, huh? So I really liked learning about Masaru Emoto. He has a great book called Messages from Water, if you ever want to read it. So you guys all know we're like 70% water. I've heard so many different percentages. We're high percentage water, right? So however many, it doesn't really matter. People are so much more important than water, right? But we have that in us. So do you think it might hold true for us? Ephesians 4:29. There's a little picture on your thing, but that's not the King James Version, and the King James Version didn't have a beautiful picture online, so I just put that one in there. But I want to read you. I found this scripture, and it just, I fell in love with it, and I felt like this needed to be my mantra for my home, for my homeschool, for my life, for my heart. Let no corrupt communication, and P.S., I'm not perfect at it at all. So just because it's my mantra doesn't mean like I'm 100%. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:29 and 31 and 32. I just want all communication to edify and uplift and bless the hearers, especially my children. And I'm not always perfect at it, but having that be the goal. So I took a lot of classes from a mentor who I've never done private mentoring with him, because private mentoring is like $80,000 a year. And he'll meet with you once a month for an hour. So he was telling the story about one of these private mentoring clients who had a huge business, and his goal was to get this business like to double or triple his income. And so this guy was going to help him with that. During the first week, he gave him a tape recorder. Let's back with a recorder. Maybe he didn't say tape recorder. He gave him a recorder, and he said, what I want you to do is I want you to put play as soon as you walk into your home at night. And he's like, all right, I can do that. So he went home, and then the next month, he handed the recorder to the mentor, and he said, oh, I don't need that. He's like, what do you mean? What did you have me do that for? He's like, I just wanted you to be aware. How was your last month? And he said, you would not believe what happened. He said, actually, I would. Everything changed. Like, his home situation changed. Him and his wife were having some struggles. Him and his wife started having a beautiful relationship. There was harmony in their home. And the numbers in the business, like, they were raising exponentially. They were almost already to this double point in a month. The secret was awareness. As soon as that man pushed play, his brain thought that the mentor was going to be listening to everything he said. So he was much more careful with what he said to his family. The mentor didn't need him to work on his business. The business was very secondary, right? It was what happened in his home. And becoming aware of what happened to his home changed everything else, changed everything else. So what I would like to do is to have a little practice in awareness. I would encourage everybody to be aware. I would recommend getting a little notebook to keep in your purse, or you could just have a note section on your phone, and start keeping a word journal. And when you hear words, and you can feel a shift in the energy. I can say energy, mood, whatever you want me to. I like energy, but some people think that's weird. When you feel a shift in the mood or the energy, the atmosphere, write it down. Was there a positive shift? Was there a negative shift? You guys may already be aware of some of the words that do that for you. Have you felt that? Like when certain things, somebody says something, and like everything, the whole room, like shifts, right? Talk to me about some of the negative words. Some of the words that you've already recognized that totally shift the energy. Just shout them out.
Need.
Love it. Can't.
Why.
Hate, somebody just said, right? So I'm going to stop for just a second, because already I would propose that why can actually be really amazing as well. And there will be some words that will be, it will depend on how you say it. It will depend on your intention behind it. It will depend on what's happening in, and some of these words maybe I don't recognize as both of them. So I would encourage all of you, I may say something that doesn't ring true to you. That's okay. This may be my truth and my reality, and it doesn't have to be yours. But go home and talk to Heavenly Father about it. Talk to Heavenly Father about what words are good for you. Or if you hear a word on here and you're like, I actually think that's really good, that's okay. It can totally be really good for you and your family, okay? So you guys be aware the words may be different for you. Okay, anybody else? Thank you. Are these positives? I guess I'm writing them on the positive side. Love. Please. Could that be both? Please. So like I said, there are lots of times, like as soon as somebody said please, I heard that in my head. Will you please? Anything else you guys want to bring up? Should. Oh, thank you. Is but positive or negative? It negates what came right before it. Anybody else want to share something that they've become aware of? And? Is that positive or? Right? And? We're going to talk about a few of those things. I think it's important to choose your words wisely. So I already talked to you about keeping a word journal. Highly recommend that just to become aware. So let's talk about a few of these things. We could talk a lot about each of them, but I want to talk about a few that I think are super important. Somebody already said, you already said, but negates the thing that you just did. So if you say, I really love you, but I sure wish you would do this. But in our subconscious, it's like, oh, that didn't really happen. So just be aware of that. Be aware of how you use the word but, right? Should. Talk to me about should. Regret. Guilt. So should induces guilt. So there are different vibrations of colors. I don't know if you're familiar with that. All colors have a different vibration. Emotions have a different vibration. The emotion, and that's a scientific thing. That's not like a voodoo weird thing. Like you can scientifically, they can measure those things. So the emotion of guilt is one of the very lowest emotions on the chart. Like anger is higher than that. That was a really good aha for me. When somebody's angry with me, that's usually an upgrade from what. So like they're feeling they're in a safe place. Like they can blow up at me. So something's happening. Anger is an upgrade, so that was really good for me. but guilt and shame are some of the lowest vibrational energies that you can have. And should does imply guilt. If we should be doing this, that means we're guilty of not, right? So should is a guilt-implying, shame-implying word, and I recommend not shoulding yourself, ever. Don't should other people either. Because it does, it produces that. And who does it benefit? Like when we feel that guilt and shame, who does it benefit? Does it benefit the person that you're talking with? Does it benefit you? Like is anybody benefited, uplifted, and edified by that? And nobody at all, except for Satan, right?
I always think of the word should as a conditional statement. Like should always needs to be attached to an if. Like you should, if you want this outcome, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
Not as something that says you're doing it wrong.
Right. So be careful. Just be aware of that. There may be times that you could have the word should, but not if it induces or implies in any way guilt and shame. Right. So I like that word should. Can't is actually a swear word at my house. My kids aren't allowed to say it. What can we say, like, why not can't? Why not? Yes, it's limiting. And we already limited ourselves. We do limit ourselves all the time. So if we don't limit ourselves, so instead of can't, maybe we should say instead of should. Instead of should, what?
Could.
I want. I choose. I should be doing come follow me. I want to do come follow me. How does that feel? Like even if you're not doing come follow me, you feel like you should, instead of saying I really should be doing come follow me better. Feel the energy of I should be doing come follow me versus I want to be doing come follow me better. Can we want it? Does that increase it? Or even I choose to do come follow me better. Like, choosing is even better than wanting. We can just choose it and make it shift in our whole everything, right? Or, but just the should, just want it instead of shoulding. I get to. Yeah. Instead of that need or have, I need to, I have to, I want to, I get to. Like, totally different, right? Thank you. I could do a whole course on thank you, too. Gratitude is huge. That was in a bit of the Come Follow Me lesson that we taught in Young Women's. So if you want to go to the Young Women's Come Follow Me link in the Gospel Library, there are some amazing talks about gratitude and about being grateful in all things. We're not going to go into that. But thank you can genuinely shift the entire energy of a room. So we like to call them gratitude sessions, and sometimes I'll say out loud, do you guys want to have a gratitude session? Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. If I can tell already that I don't think they're probably going to want to have a gratitude session, I don't ask, I just do it. I say, Canyon, thank you so much for doing such a good job on the chickens today. Their water was full, it was great, thank you. Aaliyah, thank you so much for changing Zeb's diaper. And Brinley, thank you for putting the boys in their jammies last night, that sure helped. There can be pretty negative energy and everybody's fighting and bickering, or maybe dad just laid down the law and everybody's like, and I can just start thinking. I can just start thinking. And it totally shifts the energy every time without fail. Every time. And I'll just tell you personally, I have dealt with some severe depression. And there were times during the depression that nothing worked. Nothing worked. None of the tools, none of the nothing worked. And so I would move. I think movement's really good. So I would move, and I would go outside on a walk. And I knew gratitude was good, but it didn't really work until I did it. And at first, it was totally not for my heart at all. I'm grateful for that chair. I'm grateful that I have shoes. I am grateful for backpacks. I'm grateful for water bottles. And I would just, what it was in front of me, I saw, but I said out loud, I'm grateful for. But without fail, even when my body wasn't producing any of the hormones, endorphins, I think that's what I was thinking, any of the stuff that it needed to produce to help me feel happy, even when it wasn't doing that, gratitude did it. And sometimes I had to go through the motions for a few minutes before it started shifting. But it did. Every single time it did. It was amazing. Okay. Thank you. I think that's huge. I want to talk to you a lot, actually, about these two. Love and hate. So I heard at a timeout for women from Hillary Weeks, she talked about a rice experiment. Have any of you ever heard of that? So she said that you can boil rice and then put it in different jars and hate one jar, love the other jar, and the love jar will stay good for like 3 months. And I was like, bogus. I totally didn't believe it. That was not going to work. I couldn't have cooked rice sit on a shelf for months and still look like normal fluffy cooked rice. But it was intriguing to me, so I tried to be very scientific, and we did an experiment at our home. Obviously, I wasn't perfect because this, I noticed after I took the pictures, is a white ring. The rest were metal. So I wanted nothing to interfere with the good scientific evidence. So I tried to do the same size labels. We had one that was ignored, but I still put a piece of tape on it because I didn't want the lack of tape to make a difference. Like, I was going to make this like really good. So this is all cooked rice, a cup of cooked rice in a pint jar. And on one, we labeled it love, and one, we labeled it hate, and one, we just ignored. So the ignore jar went in all of them went in my closet. And I shut my closet doors because I didn't want light to affect it. Like, I just really wanted to know if this was real. So I put the ignore jar clear in the back of my closet up at the top, and I never touched it except for once a month to take a picture. And then the love and ignore jar I put on one shelf, but I even put a metal divider in between them so, like, their energy couldn't, like, go off of each other. Like, I really, really wanted to know if this worked. And we would pull out the love jar at once a day. My kids would help me. We'd pull out the love jar, and we'd go into the other room because we didn't want to hear the other jar to hear it. And we'd shut the door, and we'd say, I love you. It was so cute watching the kids. I love you. I did notice one grain of rice after, like, day two started to shift, and I was like, no, something in me really wanted it to work. I still didn't believe it would, but I wanted it to. So I started talking to that one piece of grain of rice. I was like, you got this. You can do this. Then we would take the hate jar out, and we would talk to it. Door closed so the love jar can't hear. I hate you. And that was actually really weird to say I hate you to rice. Like, I felt bad for the rice. But it was all for science, right? So we did it. And 1 month later, our love jar, and you can't really see. On a big PowerPoint, you can. So I took a picture of the bottom of the jar, too, because some of the nastiness was right on the bottom. Our love jar looked like perfect white rice 1 month after I cooked it, just sitting on my counter. Our hate jar was starting to grow some pretty nasty stuff. Pink, green, black, like it looked pretty gross. And our ignore jar was growing a little bit of stuff, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't near what our hate jar was, but it was starting to grow stuff. Oh, that was kind of cool. So we kept going, did the whole process for the next month. 2 months later, our love jar, with the exception of that one grain who started turning but didn't finish because I just spoke all these wonderful words to it to encourage it along. I tell myself that's why I didn't, but that one grain of rice still was shifted a tiny bit, but everything else was perfect white fluffy rice. Our hate jar was now a soupy, nasty, goopy mess. It was really gross. Even grosser a month later when we opened it and dumped it out. And I don't have a picture of the third month. I guess I didn't take pictures, but we did put a YouTube video on YouTube, and my kids are telling you all the things they learned. So if you want to try to find that, you can. But I've put a lot of other videos up. It might be hard to find, but. Oh, yeah, thank you. There you go. The ignore jar is right there. After 3 months, it looked kind of like the hate jar did after 1 month. Like, it didn't do very good. So, I mean, we could have a really great open discussion about all the things you could have learned from this. We did have that discussion. So we could talk about all the things that we learned as a family, but I'll let you guys think about all that, because for lack of time. But we did learn, like, how important it is not to just ignore somebody, but how much worse that word is. Now, I'll tell you, I have done some private coaching, and one of my people decided she was going to try this thing. And it didn't work at all. It didn't work at all. Why? I'm not 100% sure, but my belief is because she put him in the living room. She wanted him in the living room so that they could see it every single day to remind them. And this incredible person, they hate a lot of things. They hate broccoli. They hate a lot of things. And that word, and shut up, like, there's a lot of anger issues with children. A lot of that happens all the time in their home. So my only guess was that that was hearing all that all the time. So, yeah, it was exposed to all of that. So I don't know. You can try it. It worked for me. There's my proof. The proof is in the pudding, right? So love, hate. I believe that hate destroys and love can heal. How do you quit hating? I want to tell you a quick story. When I lived in Montana years ago, I started doing an alternative healing kind of a thing. I was learning how to do it, and the lady that was helping train me, we would try to find whatever issue was going on, whether it was back pain or whatever issue was going on. We tried to find the root cause of the issue. And so there was like a map of the body, and we could go to different, like wherever it was in the body that was going on. One of the things that we could get to was called a despair anchor. So a despair anchor was something that held me down, or that holds a person down from progressing. So when we find a despair anchor, we have to find the exact wording. So it's words that I'm saying over and over in my head. Sometimes I say it out loud, sometimes it's in my head, and you figure it out through intuition or muscle testing. And we found the word, like trying to figure out what it was. What it was I said, I yell at my kids, and I hate that about myself. Like, I claimed it, like, that was my weakness. So I yell at my kids, and I hate that about myself. I had hated that about myself for quite a while. I had tried really hard to change it. I'd made New Year's resolutions. I'd fasted. I'd prayed. I talked to God about it in the temple. Like, I made these like I tried different tactics. That wonderful, amazing man who said he could just decide never to be angry again, like I even did that. I'm never going to yell again. And it didn't work. I really need his secret because I don't know how that one works. But it didn't work for me on the yelling at my kids thing. Where I even gave it to Jesus in his stocking one year. And I knew, like I had faith. I knew that magically by the next Christmas when I opened the stocking again, I wouldn't be a yeller anymore. And I cried when I opened the stocking again. And I was like, I can't even do it for Jesus. Like, it was horrible. When I quit hating that about myself, and in a despair anchor, you shift, you use a replacement phrase. You have to find a replacement phrase. So I found the phrase, I love that through Christ, I can overcome this. I still yelled at my kids. But instead of hating that about myself, I chose to love that through Christ, I could overcome that. Guess what happened? I quit yelling at my kids. That habit that had been a part of me for years that I tried so hard to fix was healed. When I decided to quit hating and decided to love, I didn't love that I yelled at my kids. I loved that I could overcome that. I loved that Christ was the way. I loved that, like, you can love all sorts of things. You don't have to love broccoli if your brain thinks you hate it, but could you love that you don't have to eat broccoli? So I would just suggest trying, like, if I could pick the one word for you, that's the word, because of the miracle that it produced in my life, there is a spot right here for you to actually practice. How to switch hate into love? How would you do that? Is there something you hate that's really hard? And how do you shift to love? That can be tricky, but you can do it. Yes, thank you. So she's saying that shame and guilt will do more damage than any sin ever could, and that you can overcome sins by letting go of the shame and guilt. Thank you very much. Love is always the answer. So I had a brother who came out as gay, and that was a new experience for me. And there's a whole bunch of shame and guilt in that place in our church, right? I don't know why, but I think I'm supposed to say this. So I told Heavenly Father, if you want me to veer, I will. I have a sister who chose prostitution. I have a brother who killed himself. I have a brother who's gay. I love what you said about shame and guilt. The Savior loved a prostitute and helped remove all shame and guilt from a prostitute. My mind, I mean, I had a hard time wrapping it around gay, but I had an even harder time wrapping it around prostitution. When the 2-year-old boy was in the other room, banging on the door, Mom, but if the Savior can take all shame and guilt away from prostitution and from gay and lesbian, like if he can do that, where are they that condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. If the Savior can, we can do. We can. So a couple things I would say. Love is always the answer. Love in Jesus, because Jesus is love. Love, my mom went to a conference. I forgot what it's called. There's some organization that's LDS families who have gay and lesbian. I forgot what it's called. All-Star. That's what it's called. So my mom went to an All-Star conference. And the one thing, she always takes one thing away from the whole conference experience. And the one thing she took away was love is always the answer. Love is always the answer. So there's my easy answer. Love is always the answer. So in the last class, he talked about pouring out belief on our children. So pouring out belief, pouring out love, reminding him of the Savior. And there will be specific answers for you. that Heavenly Father has. He will teach you the why to the love, or the how. He will teach you how. The how isn't going to come from somebody else. The how is going to come from Him. That sweet Angie talked about that direct line from heaven, us and our children. God did that on purpose. God did that very on purpose. That's going to come from Him. So there's your easy answer, and good luck finding out how. Thank you for that thought about shame and guilt being more damaging than any sin. That was really profound, actually. I guess as I'm just peeking at this handout, Camilla Kimball said once, never suppress a generous thought. Our words, you guys have heard of the law of attraction, right? Whatever we put out, we get that, we bring that into our lives. So I believe that very much. So we put out gratitude, we're going to get that in. If we put out all these good, happy, love, we're going to get more love in. So as much as you put out love, love's going to be around you. When your son's around you, when you emanate love, he'll feel that. He will feel that. You can't not feel that. Light and dark can't exist in the same space. When there's light, it pushes out the darkness. Love pushes out the hate. Like, that's just going to, that's going to happen. One thing that I would love to invite everybody to do is to never suppress a generous thought. I put a little space down here for you to write down who might need you. Who might need a note from you? Who might need that? And be able to share those positive, uplifting words. Be able to share those with other people to bring them up. When we've learned, when we're strengthened, we're supposed to strengthen our brethren, right? So let me just peek for just a second to see if there's something that Heavenly Father really needs me to say. And I don't think there is. Okay. I didn't put it on there, and I wish this is the thing that I wish I had a PowerPoint presentation for the most, is to show you this video of a song on YouTube by Toby Mac. It's called Speak Life. So if you've never seen it, I'd encourage you to go to YouTube and listen to this song called Speak Life by Toby Mac. And the video is really good too. Life. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life from the deep. Speak Life by Toby Mac. So I'd encourage everybody to speak life, to find some words, to make a decision. So knowledge is power, right? Well, so they say. But applied knowledge is what I think is power. So knowledge is just knowledge until we apply it. So I would like to invite you to apply something from today. Maybe... And the Spirit's going to be your guide on that, okay? So I'd invite you to ask Heavenly Father for a minute, what do you want me to do? How do I act? How do I apply this? And the answer might be, write a letter to your sister. The answer might be, text Emily at lunch. Just tell her you love her and you believe in her. Pour the belief in. It might be, do the word journal idea. That was a really good idea. Get a word journal in your note section on your phone. It might be any number of things. But I encourage you to find that one thing that is going to be the application for you for this time. I testify that as we try 1% gains, we just try to do one thing better. We pick the one thing that's going to be good for us. Not at all, because that can feel pretty overwhelming, and then we go shooting ourselves and bring everybody around us down, right? I encourage you to find the one thing that's good for you. And as we do that, the Savior will help us. He'll magnify our efforts. He will magnify our efforts. I testify that love really is the answer. Always love. And Jesus is always the answer. And as we turn to Him with our questions, we'll find the answers. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.